HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Just days after an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, the gloves are off. President Biden just spoke at an NAACP convention in Las Vegas and took jabs at the former president over some of his debate comments.
Black jobs. I love his phrase, black jobs. It tells a lot about the man and about his character. Folks, I know what a black job is. It's the vice president of the United States.
Biden also talked about taking a stand against gun violence and says he is praying for Trump following his violent rally in Pennsylvania. The Secret Service has ramped up security for Trump following yet another assassination plot. CBS's Samantha Vinograd.
This latest reported threat from Iran against Mr. Trump is just the latest in an ongoing set of threats to Mr. Trump and Trump administration officials in light of the assassination of Qasem Soleimani and their larger policy against Iran.
But Trump did have increased security in Pennsylvania, though this plot has no connection to the 20-year-old who shot at him. Day two of the RNC will feature one of Trump's biggest rivals this year, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns has more from Milwaukee.
In the primaries, after she had dropped out of the race, she was still getting significant portions of suburban voters, those very voters that Donald Trump needs to win back, that Republicans have been hemorrhaging. And that's been kind of the big question, is where do those voters go? And everything we've seen over the past couple of weeks since that debate, Trump campaign is confident that some of those voters will come home.
Calls are growing louder now for New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to resign following his bribery conviction. Prosecutors say the Democrat abused his power in exchange for political favors. Severe storms in the Midwest have topped a dam that's now forcing evacuations in southern Illinois. KMOV reporter Russell Kinsall's in the town of Nashville.
There was one rescue in this location, a woman taken from her home by a boat. She was not hurt, and there are a lot of folks around here who have boats, so plenty of people that were willing to loan boats to the authorities and get her to a safe place.
Former correspondent Tom Fenton has died.
A crowd waited late into the night for the conviction of the man.
Fenton retired back in 2004 after 34 years with CBS News, covering everything from the Gulf War to the Iran hostage crisis. He was 94. And Ingrid Andress says she was drunk and plans to check into rehab soon after butchering the national anthem last night at Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby.
And the Rockets red glare.
The country singer got a lot of backlash over that performance on social media. MLB's not commenting. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. City leaders and Republican officials promised Milwaukee businesses would get big boosts during the Republican National Convention. But so far, some restaurants and shops say it's been pretty slow. That may be because attendees are on a tight schedule. Delegate Stephanie Susek.
We were kind of, you know, tied up having to be at the convention hall. And so we're looking forward to some more flexibility in the next few days to go out and, you know, just be part of the community and get out to different places.
That schedule is really keeping people busy at Fiserv. Civic Media has a team at the convention. We'll be there all week. And this is such sad news from Door County. Two kids, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, died when the sailboat they were on capsized near Chambers Island. Officials are still searching for their dad, 32-year-old Bill Salnick of Little Suamico. The Door County Sheriff's Office says they'll keep searching until they find him. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
The Bucks looking for a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks looking for their first win tonight in Summer League action in Las Vegas. So far, they've lost to the Bulls and then the Cavaliers on Sunday. Tonight, they face the LA Clippers. The Bucks' 6'11" rookie, Tyler Smith.
I don't just set screens, roll, and shoot the ball. I mean, if that's what you need me to do to pay me for it, I can make a lot of shots. But I mean, I can also take people off the dribble, beat bigs on the floor, and also play stretch five.
Baseball, the All-Star game is tonight. Be on the lookout for Christian Christian Yelich and William Contreras to start and play in the first few innings. Golf, the state amateur golf championship underway at the Legend at Merrill Hills. Ty Kretz atop the leaderboard at 5 under. Tony Romo flew into Waukesha after competing over the weekend in Lake Tahoe with Aaron Rodgers and A.J. Hawk. Romo says he's grateful to be invited back to the Wisconsin State Tournament.
You know, the people here are so generous and nice and allow me to play in this tournament, so I feel like you want to allow people to, who help you out, you want to help them out too.
That's Tony Romo with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. And upper 70s with more sunshine Thursday. Mostly sunny and upper 70s to near 80 by Friday. Saturday and Sunday, a slight chance of showers. Highs close to 80.
Currently at 77.
Earl Ingram.
On Wednesday's show, Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action will join me on the show to talk about the RNC in Milwaukee and getting organized politically.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight, our Tuesday, our Tuesday night edition, during a week that is filled with the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. So we are live on the stream right now. If you're joining us on Facebook or YouTube, welcome, welcome. Great to have you with us. We will do our best to keep you entertained here until we go live at 8 o'clock. At which point, Matt Eisman from American Ninja Warrior will join us. He is one of the two co-hosts of that long-running show, competition show. And we are going to talk about the Twinges from Madison. I'm talking about, of course, the Green Brothers, Nathan and Marquez, both 25 years old. They are competing in the semifinals this coming Monday, July 22nd. We will ask Matt about that. Matt and I have a history, too. We were on the show Sports Soup back on the Comcast network in the early 2000s. Well, actually, 2008, I think, is when we went on the air and we wrapped up in 2010. Matt was the host. I was a writer and a sketch performer. It was a lot of fun. We'll ask Matt about that and his career in stand-up comedy, all kinds of fun stuff with my old pal, Matt Eisman. And then at 8:35, Terry Bell will join us to give us a recap of the Republican National Conventions, day one and two from Milwaukee. Terry might even tell us what he's watching, too. Our question of the night: what is your favorite Tom Hanks film? So let us know, and we will read your answers. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And right now, we are going to play one of our highlights. It was my interview with Rob Thomas from a couple weeks ago, where we talk about him getting his citizenship and Inside Out 2.
That's this week, like they will be in Chicago about a month from now for the DNC.
Yeah, I heard some beautiful languages and accents walking around the campus today, so you're absolutely right. This does have the attention of the world. You mentioned Eric Hovde a moment ago. Yes, he did, in fact, speak about an hour ago, about a four-minute address, one of several U.S. Senate candidates speaking to the convention early on in the proceedings. It was just kind of line him up and let him go for just a short amount of time. And in that speech, as you might imagine, Eric Hovde laid many of the problems of the United States and the world at the feet of Joe Biden and Tammy Baldwin. You would expect him to do that, and we'll have more highlights and analysis of that coming up.
Yeah, you know, this is one of these stages, literally and figuratively, where Mr. Hovde is trying to gain some traction a little bit. So far, he's had trouble doing so. I mean, here's a person who is fighting this this campaign from Democrats and from Senator Baldwin herself, saying, look, you're really not from Wisconsin. You're based out of California. And Mr. Hovde not doing a lot to dissuade people that about a month ago he was scheduled to be a Republican Party event in Oconto County, OC, Oconto County, just north of Green Bay. He canceled that, and the paparazzi in the greater Los Angeles area captured Mr. Hovde on the beach in OC Orange County near Laguna Beach, where he has a $7 million or so house, where he's the president of a bank out there. So he kind of keeps making these same mistakes. And strictly from a person who ran a lot of campaigns over my life for the Republican side of the aisle after having or then leaving the party in 2011, not exactly what you want in a candidate. The thing I just mentioned, he's also been caught on tape, or there's records from Steve Walter, the great journalist now at Wisconsin Eye, in which he says he wants to tax overweight people more for health insurance, or makes them pay more for health care. Again, if you're running a campaign, you don't want your candidate saying these types of things. Makes it very difficult. Meanwhile, Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin, just going around the state, going to Richland County, the farmers or the dairy breakfast, giving out cheese curds and grilling pancakes. So I'm not sure whether this is the platform that Eric Covey can get back on track, but he's giving it the old try.
Well, as if anticipating your critique, he did mention during his speech about an hour ago that his family's roots go back to Wisconsin. He says 100 years, and I think you'll hear him saying that a lot more often during the summer and fall. You mentioned the traction. A YouGov poll was released today or last night, and it shows Baldwin with a 7-point lead, 50 for Baldwin, 43% for Hovde. But of course, you know, it's only July.
And it's only July, and I think that's probably what worries the Republicans, because Tammy Baldwin having a 7-point lead in that poll in July, it makes it much harder for her to, you know, for Eric Covey to catch up as things progress. But you know, like you say, we're still in July. There's time. We'll see certainly how things happen at the top of the ticket. We talk in political terms of coattails. Does the top of the ticket, in this case, the presidential candidate, do they have coattails that will go down and help people down ballot or beneath them on the ballot? I think that's one of the questions here. I mean, we've talked about it on our show at Trigvi Olson. He's going to be joining us a little bit later in this broadcast, along with other panelists here. We've talked about energy, enthusiasm, electoral enthusiasm to turn out your base. All of the, you know, we've said on this network, we denounce any sort of political violence, but if you, and that's very true, if you strictly look at enthusiasm, the events of Saturday over the weekend, the attempted assassination of former President Trump, it has solidified and energized this base. I was not in the bowl last night, but talking to reporter colleagues who were there last night, they said it was, quote, energetic. And enlivened last night. And Trump didn't even speak. He just came out and, you know, sat down. Can Joe Biden repeat that same energy in Chicago next month and get their base unified? I think that's going to go a long way in determining, perhaps in part, the outcome between Baldwin and Hovde on the U.S. Senate ticket.
That's a perfectly good point, and that's something that Democrats in Wisconsin in particular are perfectly aware of. And in fact, when you talk to strategists and candidates, they talk about what they call reverse coattails. In that meaning that usually the lower ballot ticket candidates sort of ride the wave that the person at the top of the ticket. What Democrats are hoping in Wisconsin is that there is enough energy and enthusiasm for state assembly candidates, for state senate candidates, local candidates, even more local than that, and that then those people will go up the ticket and check that box for Biden or circle in that oval. I'm dating myself.
Right. Well, it depends on what you went for. There's all kinds of ways to vote. Now,
that's
right?
True. In terms of, that's true.
You mm-hmm. But you're right. I think Tammy Baldwin could actually help Joe Biden in Wisconsin. I don't think that's off the table. So you could see some reverse coattails here. Could Donald Trump pull Eric Covey across the finish line? I don't know. Tough to see, but when you literally jump in a lake to start your campaign. But I mean, that's what Eric Covey did. But what time will tell. We shall see.
Yeah, just to remind everybody, we are live in Milwaukee. We are, well, at the Fiserv Forum campus nearby. I'm just across the street, down a couple of blocks. And Todd is at Media Row in Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. And you're listening to live coverage of Civic Media's recap of the Republican convention on this Tuesday. And the day started out with reaction to the nomination of J.D. Vance as Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate. And that was a choice that you would imagine energized the people here in Milwaukee. There are plenty of critiques coming from further left on the spectrum, as you would expect. And the issues that Vance's critics would be quick to point out would be his stances on, you know, how he would handle a constitutional crisis like January 6th, reproductive rights and immigration, just to name a few.
Yeah, we're going to hear a cut, I think, a little bit later on in the show, Terry, J.D. Vance in his own words. But I think if you ask most political analysts, of the people at least that were known to be former President Trump's selection or choices for vice president, J.D. Vance is probably the most extreme, the most in line with him, at least now, in terms of being all in on the MAGA agenda. If you look at what he talks about in terms of women's health care, reproductive rights, if you look at things, as you mentioned, he is all in on authoritarianism, again, from his own words. He is all in on doing what Mike Pence would not, which is put Donald Trump ahead of the Constitution. If there is a constitutional crisis on the election, that may be the litmus test, or was the litmus test, for Donald Trump, because Mike Pence was no liberal. He was certainly a hardline conservative on some of these same issues I just mentioned, abortion and women's health care in particular. But that wasn't enough for Donald Trump, because Pence, of course, didn't do Trump's bidding on January 6th, and Trump allowed the crowd to put up the gallows and chant "Hang Mike Pence" at the January 6th attempted insurrection. And so the real test here for Trump was, will you do what Mike Pence wouldn't? And apparently J.D. Vance has passed the test, even after, again, these are J.D. Vance's words, having in the past called Donald Trump, quote, the American Hitler, unquote. So things have changed in the last couple, 3 years for J.D. Vance. He finds himself now atop the ticket alongside Donald Trump. And to your point, that is the choice that this seems to be, and kind of wandering around talking to people on the fly here, delegates from across the country. I haven't found anybody yet, Terry. I'm not sure in your report if you have. I have not found a delegate who's disappointed in Trump's choice of J.D. Vance.
No, I have not either. That's a good point. So J.D. Vance was all the talk this morning. A few hours later, there was an incident that redirected everyone's attention for an hour or two, and that was a law enforcement incident that happened about a mile or so from Fiserv Forum, just outside one of the security fences. And it turns out to be that it was not related to the convention. Two local men got into an altercation. It turns out to be a knife fight, and a law enforcement officer from Columbus, Ohio, who was here in Milwaukee to help keep the peace, used lethal force in order to quell this situation. So there was speculation, of course, when this first broke out, that this might have something to do with a protest or some sort of political violence. It turns out it was really not related to the convention directly, but it certainly does speak to, you know, some of the problems that are going on around the country, and particularly in Milwaukee. And I'm sure those are conversations that people will be having throughout the days to come. In fact, the ACLU has already put out a statement wanting full transparency from the authorities about what happened today and why.
Yeah, we'll wait and see how this all shakes out. I think always important, as you allude to, Terry, not to speculate too far. Let's let the investigation take its course. But from what we know now, it appears, as you just said, it was a knife fight between two local gentlemen, and unfortunately someone lost their life today. We'll see what the report actually says.
Absolutely. Straight ahead, we'll recap some of the day's key moments here in Milwaukee, and a bit later, our panel joins us to sort through what it all means. You're listening to special coverage from Civic Media, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Wondering what makes Wisconsin Dells the perfect summer getaway? Let's find out. Let's splash. Let's play. Let's try something completely new. Let's make sure we do this again next year. Hey, I'm working up an appetite. Let's eat. Need a guy's weekend? Let's do guy stuff. Need a girl's weekend? Let's go, girls. Need a family getaway? Let's have some together time. Wisconsin Dells, let's make this the best vacation ever. Go to wisdells.com and start planning your trip to the water park capital of the world today.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Welcome back to Civic Media's special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell at Civic Media's Broadcast Center, a short walk from the convention, and my co-host is Todd Alba, who's in Wisconsin Media Row at Panther Arena. For the next few minutes, we're going to take a time to listen to a recap of some of the highlights of today's events in downtown Milwaukee.
Police have reportedly shot and killed a person about 2.5 miles from Fiserv Forum, which is the main RNC venue. There's a large police presence near 14th and Vliet Streets. The officer who fired the fatal shot is from Ohio. Indications are that the incident is not related to the RNC. The latest poll has Donald Trump ahead of Joe Biden in Wisconsin. It finds 43% of registered voters back Trump, while 38% support Biden. In March, Biden was up by 1 point. Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming says he's enthusiastic about J.D. Vance as Trump's running mate for a number of reasons.
He's a Midwesterner. He has a compelling life story. And frankly, I want to be the first one to sell tickets to the debate between J.D. Vance and the vice president.
But Vance wasn't always so big on Trump, launching scathing criticisms of Trump during the 2016 campaign. He explains to Sean Hannity of Fox News Network how he came to change his mind.
Well, Sean, I don't hide from that. I was certainly skeptical of Donald Trump in 2016, but President Trump was a great president, and he changed my mind. I think he changed the minds of a lot of Americans because, again, he delivered that peace and prosperity. If you go back to what I thought in 2016, another thing that was going on, Sean, is I bought into the media's lies and distortions. I bought into this idea that somehow he was going to be so different, a terrible threat to democracy. It was a joke.
Vance addresses the convention in prime time tomorrow night. Senator Ron Johnson going on the attack in his primetime speech at the RNC last night.
Today's Democrat agenda, their policies, are a clear and present danger to America, to our institutions, our values, and our people. Now they are the party of open borders, reckless spending, weaponized government, and weakness on the world stage.
After the speech, Johnson claimed in an interview that wasn't the speech he planned to give. His people aren't saying who changed it, how they did it, or why. Among other things, the GOP platform calls for the biggest deportation effort in U.S. history. Christine Newman Ortiz is a Milwaukee-based advocate for refugees and other immigrants.
We are not afraid of those that demonize us and promote hate and violence and division. We stand united and firm for justice and human rights.
She spoke to a crowd of hundreds of protesters that marched through downtown near the RNC perimeter. The theme of day two of the convention is immigration and crime. Speakers tonight will talk about law enforcement and the southern border. Two failed recall attempts are proving lucrative for Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He was allowed to collect unlimited money during that time. WisPolitics reports he pocketed nearly $640,000. Most of it, a cool $500,000, came from Republican donor Elizabeth Uline. The RNC was promised to be a boon to restaurants, stores, and other establishments in downtown Milwaukee, but Monday, many businesses say it was pretty slow.
We were kind of you know, tied up having to be at the convention hall. And so we're looking forward to some more flexibility in the next few days to go out and, you know, just be part of the community and get out to different places we couldn't yesterday.
Wisconsin delegate Stephanie Susick says they had to stick to a tight schedule.
And those are just some of the facts and a little bit of the flavor of today at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And I forgot to mention earlier in the show that also much of the talk this morning, kind of the big story that blew up, was right after Senator Johnson's speech last night. A very different tone that he claims the speech he initially planned to give, which was a message of unity, turned out to be a very red meat speech. And a reporter talked to him about it. Johnson said he was upset. That wasn't the version of the speech he planned to give. But, you know, you can take that with however large a grain of salt you like.
Yeah, Terry,
Todd?
I would simply say, sorry about that. As a former longtime staffer at the congressional level and at the state Senate level, it would be hard for me to imagine how at a stage this big, the staff could load the wrong speech onto the teleprompter and Senator Johnson wouldn't realize it. It just seems implausible, to put it mildly, at this point. But I think maybe more importantly, it's just look at the content. I mean, again, it was a very red meat speech speaking to the base. And really, it's not a fringe group. It is the MAGA Republican Party, because Senator Johnson's speech, one of the money lines, is just a transphobia line trying to be divisive and ginning people up. That's in deep contrast to what both Donald Trump and Joe Biden talked about over the weekend, which was trying to lower the temperature of political rhetoric. So I find that interesting. I also find it interesting, Terry, you mentioned the theme tonight is, quote unquote, keep America safe again. Immigration and crime. Again, it's dividing people, trying to create boogie people for America's problems. Most Wisconsinites, Terry, and you grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, as did I. The fact is that one of the things Republicans don't want to talk about here is that if you got rid of migration, immigration, both legal and, let's be honest, some undocumented, the Wisconsin agricultural industry would collapse. That's just a fact. And if you ask
many people in the agriculture industry would say the same thing.
Yeah, and so they're creating boogie people of folks that are needed and are valuable parts of America's melting pot here. Remember, most of the people here are documented, actually. And so, and remember this, they're going to talk about American heroes, and Donald Trump is going to talk about pardoning criminals. I mean, I got up on my Twitter feed right now, this guy, Tim Sheehy, giving a speech here from Montana, candidate for U.S. Senate out there in Montana. He said this just a while ago from the dais, quote, common sense is simple. Criminals are bad, unquote. Donald Trump comes to this convention as a 43-time found guilty criminal. I mean, the hypocrisy is a little bit beyond the pale here. And also, the people that committed these heinous crimes on January 6th, insurrectionists, treason, they were given a jury of their peers in many cases, or pled guilty, and sentenced, and are in jail. So it seems not quite backing the blue, quote-unquote, for the current iteration of the MAGA Republican Party to support these insurrectionists from January 6th.
It might be interesting to note that at 7:27 here on Tuesday evening, day two of the convention, is the first I've heard any mention of Donald Trump's felony convictions from anybody on any platform.
Well, I think it's an important point to point out here, Terry. And I think we're running out of time. We're up against the clock a little bit right now. But maybe we can play this cut a little bit later of J.D. Vance from George Stephanopoulos from earlier this year, in which he comes right out and says that he would not have done what Mike Pence did, which was stand up for the Constitution in the 2020 election results on January 6th, that he would have done what Trump wanted. He would have.
That may be so.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off, Todd. The news is straight ahead. And we'll listen for more from J.D. Vance as our coverage, Civic Media special coverage, continues with our panel Ruth Conniff of the Wisconsin Examiner and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. You're listening to Civic Media Special Coverage. Keep it right here.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. Tonight's Republican National Convention includes speeches by former Trump challengers Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, and soon Nikki Haley. CBS's Robert Costa.
I just spoke with continuing Trump critic, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. He's hoping that Haley still outlines a path for traditional Republicans in the party, but even he, as a Trump critic, believes that ultimately former Ambassador Haley will give a full-throated endorsement for President Trump, even though she has these concerns about Trump's conduct and legal challenges.
Tonight's convention theme is crime and immigration. CBS News Executive Director of Elections and Surveys, Anthony Salvanto.
For majority, it's a major factor. For Republicans, it's even more so. It's three quarters of Republicans that say crime is a major factor in their vote.
President Biden tells black voters at the NAACP convention in Las Vegas.
This is because we must lower the temperature and our politics is related to violence. It doesn't mean we should stop telling the truth.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. RNC speakers Tuesday focused on immigration. The GOP platform calls for the largest deportation in American history. Christine Newman-Ortiz is a Milwaukee-based advocate for refugees and other immigrants.
We are not afraid of those that demonize us and promote hate and violence and division.
She spoke in front of a large group of protesters. And 60 years later, officials have solved a cold case. Wayne Pratt was found with dozens of stab wounds in Winnebago County back in June of 1963. Authorities had a few suspects and they've reopened the case a few times. But finally, with advancements in DNA technology, they've identified their killer. The Winnebago County Sheriff says the killer's name is William Doxeter and he was on that original suspect list. Unfortunately, Doxeter won't face justice. He died 2 years ago. But now Pratt's case is closed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. RNC speakers Tuesday focused on immigration. The GOP platform calls for the largest deportation in American history. Christine Newman-Ortiz is a Milwaukee-based advocate for refugees and other immigrants.
We are not afraid of those that demonize us and promote hate and violence and division.
She spoke in front of a large group of protesters. And 60 years later, officials have solved a cold case. Wayne Pratt was found with dozens of stab wounds in Winnebago County back in June of 1963. Authorities had a few suspects and they've reopened the case a few times. But finally, with advancements in DNA technology, they've identified their killer. The Winnebago County Sheriff says the killer's name is William Doxeter and he was on that original suspect list. Unfortunately, Doxeter won't face justice. He died 2 years ago. But now Pratt's case is closed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. And upper 70s with more sunshine Thursday. Mostly sunny and upper 70s to near 80 by Friday. Saturday and Sunday, a slight chance of showers, highs close to 80.
Currently at 77.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by the former Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Mike Tate, as well as former U.S. Representative from Wisconsin, Scott Klug. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Thank you and welcome back to Civic Media special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Todd Alba is with me. He's at Panther Arena in Wisconsin Media Row. I'm just a few blocks away from Fiserv Forum, where the primetime delegation, the primetime festivities, I should say, are underway tonight. We were talking a bit ago, Todd, about J.D. Vance, and in the days and weeks to come, we're going to hear more of his past statements and whether or not they jibe with his current positions and feelings. And there was some clips today that caught your ear.
Yeah, this is back from, I believe, February of this year. This is on This Week, the weekly program with George Stephanopoulos. And J.D. Vance, Senator Vance, was a guest on This Week. And George Stephanopoulos brought up this subject of January 6th. And if Vance was in that position as vice president, would he have done the same thing that Mike Pence did, which was choose the Constitution over Trump? Or would he acquiesce to Trump's will? Here is that clip of J.D. Vance on This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
Donald Trump. So you're not troubled by the sexual assault and defamation. Let me ask you about January 6th. You've been mentioned as a possible vice president for Donald Trump. Had you been vice president on January 6th, would you have certified the election results?
Oh, George, this is such a ridiculous question, in part because the law has changed here. We, of course, had
a major legal change. I didn't ask you about going forward. I asked you what you would have done. I asked you what you would have done.
George, here's what I think. Here's what I think happened in 2020. And I know you guys are obsessed with talking about this. I have to make a point here. You constantly say to people like me, why do you talk about January the 6th? Why do you talk about the election of 2020? And then you ask about us multiple times during a 6-minute interview. But look, you ask the question and I'll answer it. Do I think there were problems in 2020? Yes, I do. Do I think it was a problem that big technology companies working with the intelligence services censored the presidential campaign of Donald Trump? Yes. Do I think it's a problem that Pennsylvania changed its balloting rules in the middle of the election season in a way that even some courts in Pennsylvania have said was illegal? Yes, I think these were problems, George, and I think there is a political solution to those problems. So litigating which slate of electors was legitimate, I think, is fundamentally the political solution to the problems that existed in 2020. It's a reasonable debate to have. And I find it weird, George, that people like you obsess with what I call what happened in 2020. You're so incurious about what actually happened in 2020, which is why so many people mistrust our elections in this country. We've got to do better, George.
I'm not the least bit incurious. In fact, you laid out a litany there, but you didn't answer the question I asked. Would you have certified the election results had you been vice president?
If I had been vice president, I would have told the states like Pennsylvania, Georgia, and so many others that we needed to have multiple slates of electors, and I think the U.S. Congress should have fought over it from there. That is the legitimate way to deal with an election that a lot of folks, including me, think had a lot of problems in 2020. I think that's what we should have done.
So it's very clear you would have done what Donald Trump asked you to do there, not what Mike, President Mike Pence did. You said that that's...
That, of course, as we said, from George Stephanopoulos' This Week interviewing Senator J.D. Vance on if he were to be the vice presidential nominee or vice president. Tonight, he is the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party. And Vance brings up this whole question of election integrity. I have a great book here by Major Garrett of CBS News and David Becker called The Big Truth. It is a complete compilation of looking back at the 2020 election, one of the freest, fairest elections, including in the state of Wisconsin. Major Garrett writes rewrites this, and Terry, then we'll get our panel involved. He says, quote, "There was a time when election officials, political reporters, political scientists, and historians worried if American democracy was dying from disinterest, not dying so much as withering. The question now
are not about the participation or interest, but trust and reliability. There is no shortage of interest and energy around voting. There is more interest now about registering to vote, methods to vote, and the range of access to vote and how votes are counted. That interest is not neutral. Terry, joining us at the desk here from Wisconsin Media Row, we have the editor-in-chief, the Wisconsin Examiner, Ruth Conniff, and senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson. Ruth, let's start with you. You heard these comments from J.D. Vance, who is now tonight the GOP nominee for vice president. What say you? One second, I got to turn your mic on. That'd be a good thing. Go ahead.
Can't say anything like that.
Right, you can't say anything. Let's turn your mic on. Go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, election denial is a huge part of the Trump brand, and the Republicans who have folded their tents and decided to join this, you know, Trump cult are absolutely required to pretend that they think that the election in 2020 was stolen. And here in Wisconsin, we're sitting here in a state that had a slate of fake electors for Donald Trump. They, as a condition of a settlement of a lawsuit, have admitted that they knew that Joe Biden won the election when they cast their ballots that were forwarded to Congress by Ron Johnson, who failed to give them to Mike Pence to be counted. But this is what J.D. Vance is talking about. We should have had more of this. We should have allowed these people who were impersonating legitimate Electoral College voters, cast fake ballots against the will of the people, undermine the election, and pretend that Trump won it. And then we should have spent a whole bunch of time debating whether that was legitimate. It's not legitimate. It's not legitimate. And the fake electors themselves in Wisconsin have admitted as much. So, you know, this is all a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And it's, you know, it's very dangerous. They've managed to keep this idea alive that there's something wrong with the election system. It's led to death threats on these local clerks who are just trying to do a difficult job. A lot of this stuff is very boring. You have people show up to observe elections. They get tired and fatigued. You know, it's really wonky stuff that is suddenly very hot and sexy because Trump continues to claim that he won the election. He did not win the election. And, you know, this has been litigated. I mean, they are 0-50 in the court on this issue. So this is not something that needs further exploration. It's just a lie.
We're not very far from AmFam Field. The Brewers talking about 0-50. Those aren't great baseball card results there.
Yeah.
Not a good deal. Trigvi Olson, you've grew up here in Wisconsin. You worked on elections in Wisconsin. You were part of McCain World for a long time. You fought for democracy around the world. To Ruth's point, this trend of denialism by our former party, it's just not healthy for democracy.
No, it's not healthy for democracy. And I kind of think, you know, so they won, of all the litigation that they had, they won once on a technicality in Pennsylvania. So if you break J.D. Vance's answer down in detail, what he's doing there is he's basically taking one example where they won on a technicality but lost another, I think, 15 times, and trying to use that to say, well, you know, there was a court that decided that way. And that's, they will glam onto anything to keep sort of their narratives running. I think the other thing that would be interesting for Stephanopoulos to have asked J.D. Vance is, if Kamala Harris decides that we should only count the states where Joe Biden wins this election, would he think that's okay? Like,
right.
She were concerned about, you know, different things that are happening?
I think that's a great question. Terry?
Tonight, the theme of the convention is crime and immigration. And, you know, a lot of the platform, the candidate, is laying the problems of many of the problems of crime on immigrants, something that is statistically doesn't hold up. But I'm wondering what our panelists feel about, you know, what's being said tonight about those topics.
Ruth?
Well, you know, this is another aspect of Trumpism that has been really toxic, and it's particularly toxic in Wisconsin, where 70% of the labor force in our dairy industry is undocumented immigrants. And so people, rural voters, know that, you know, the dairy industry would go belly up overnight if they didn't have this workforce. So instead of demonizing these people and making their lives even harder, you know, what the Republicans could do that would be productive would be to find a path for people to acknowledge what's been going on for decades here, which is that we are utterly dependent on this labor force. Instead of pretending that this is a wave of invaders who are coming to take our jobs, we could say, you know, look, If you would like to work starting at 4 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, shoveling manure and milking cows, those jobs are available for you, right? I mean, it's a misleading narrative, and it's based on hate, and it's scary to me to think about the roundups that Trump is promising and the idea that, you know, we really need to bear down on this kind of invisible workforce that is propping up more and more of our economy. We need to take a look at what we're doing, acknowledge it, and figure out what makes sense in terms of a system that says, okay, we need these folks to work for us, so what are we going to do to acknowledge it and to make it legit?
Trigvi Olson, you and I are about the same age. We're old enough to remember in the 1980 Republican presidential primary debate, Ronald Wilson Reagan and George H. Walker Bush had a debate on immigration in which Reagan said, well, they're trying to outdo each other. He said, well, I don't want to have a fence at all. I think we should have visas for people to go back and forth and work. I mean, that was the Republican Party of that you and I came up with, the mega Republican Party, to Ruth's point, very different.
Yeah, and it's not only that, but it's like a small minority within the party has consistently, when there has been bipartisan efforts to try and solve the problem, have gone out of their way to destroy them simply because they like to have the issue to demagogue. And in some ways, you know, and then they have media allies who have discovered that extremism is a good business model. So at the end of the day, you know, you have people who are distressed, maybe economic distress or other distress, but they're buying into these simplistic answers. If we just build the wall and then Mexico pays for it, then I don't have to worry about this. Or if we have internment camps and round them up, right? I mean, it's classic extremism, and it's classic acceptance of cognitively simplistic answers. And quite frankly, it's not even the best of what we are as Americans.
Here's Reid Ribble's been tweeting, former Republican congressman from Green Bay. He's looking at the Republican Party platform and giving his take on this. I think this is really good. This is part a quote directly out of the 2024 Republican Party platform passed here in Milwaukee this week. Quote, carry out the largest deportation operation in American history. Unquote. Reid Ribble, former Republican congressman, says this. Quote, first, both Obama and Biden have deported more immigrants than Trump did in his term. Secondly, it's profoundly expensive and inflationary to do so. People like this idea until they have to pay the higher cost. Ruth?
Well, I mean, it just goes to what I'm saying. It's not just agriculture. It's construction. It's food service. It's hospitality. It's like, who's mowing the lawn? Who's taking care of the kids? Who's putting the roof on your house? You know, it's just, it is really obnoxious to suddenly turn and point a finger at these folks. And, you know, as Terry said, who's crime rate is a lot lower than native-born citizens in the United States. So it's a really toxic, you know, demagogue move, and it's going to cause real harm. It's already caused real harm, violence against immigrants. And I totally agree with you that it's a kind of a fast move. It's scapegoating. And it's kind of interesting how it's part of this whole, like, white injured, like the injured masculinity of the white Midwesterner. That's, to me, that's the theme of this whole convention.
Trivi, what's that you?
Actually, there's a great video going around on Twitter. Did you see Matt Gaetz trying to taunt McCarthy?
Yeah.
Well, somebody else tweeted the interaction between some random delegate and Matt Gaetz, where he just basically calls him out. Matt Gaetz backs down and runs away.
Wow. Incredible.
I mean, this is the thing, is you stand up to bullies, you stand up to autocrats. It just is what you have to do.
Give this to me, Trigvi, in 1 minute or less. Reid Ribble, a common sense guy, a conservative, is going through this. Where are the Reid Ribbles of today? Why isn't Paul Ryan here? Where are these people? Is it just
Should find Paul Ryan and ask him. He's got to be here, right?
He's not here. No, he's not coming. No, he's not here.
Why isn't he here?
Because he said he wouldn't come. He's a never Trumper, and that's right. You know this.
I already knew that.
Trigvi is just trying to have a little fun.
We honestly, where are the Reid Ribbles or the Paul Ryans? They all get frustrated and said, we're out of here. You know?
Because they know it's not
that's
true
Republicanism. That's in essence what they did. And, you know, at the end of the day, I say all the time, one of the rules for dealing with autocratic forces is a Stalin rule, right? If you're in a battle with the worst human being to ever live, you do what Churchill and Roosevelt did. You make alliances with the second worst one because it's an alliance of convenience at the time, so you can live to fight another day. people have to understand, you know, would I have liked Paul to have said more? Would I have liked Reed to probably have said more back in the day? Sure. But they're on our side now, and we all have to work together to try and stop this.
Terry Bell?
Stay with us. More discussion of our panel is straight ahead. You're listening to Civic Media special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Keep it right here.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Welcome back. We are at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, as you're probably perfectly well aware of by now. Trigvi Olson and Ruth Conniff are with us. Ruth, I was hoping you could just take a minute to talk to us a bit about the Wisconsin Examiner.
Absolutely, yeah. So we are 5 years old today, actually.
Happy birthday.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah. We are part of a network of outlets called States Newsroom. It's a nonprofit news network. And we have our own website, Wisconsin Examiner. Everything on there is free. We have a free newsletter you can get in your email inbox every day, and we cover the state. We cover state news. Our office is right across the street from the Capitol, so we focus heavily on the legislature, state policy, and politics. But we're also out around the state. We have reporters in northwestern Wisconsin, northeastern Wisconsin. We have a reporter who lives in Milwaukee and covers Milwaukee a lot. So we're just filling the gap, you know, as unfortunately daily papers trim back their staff, and there's been a big contraction all over the country. And so nonprofit news is really trying to move to fill that space. And that's what we're doing.
And you do a great job.
Trigvi Olson, the listeners. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I cite a lot of Wisconsin Examiner. I, of course, always give you credit. But, I mean, you guys do some great work, and it's journalism that we don't find other places many times. So I just wanted to say personally, I appreciate what you do, and we love using your journalism.
Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for picking us up.
Terry?
Yeah, and Trigvi, you know, listeners to Todd's show are well aware of Trigvi and his work with the Lincoln Project, but for people perhaps tuning in us for the first time, Trigvi, why don't you tell us about the Lincoln Project?
Yeah, so the Lincoln Project was started by a bunch of former Republicans who operatives who had worked at senior levels on Republican campaigns, really with two goals. One was to get Donald Trump out of the White House and keep him out of the White House, and the other was to counter some of the Trumpism that we're seeing in the electorate and more broadly extremism, mm-hmm. On a pro-democracy standpoint. And quite honestly, Terry, you know, for me personally, the work, yes, I'd worked at senior levels on campaigns, but I ended up having, through work I did for an organization John McCain ran, mm-hmm. you know, decades of work in places without democracy or places where democracy failed. And so a lot of my work with them has really been focused on how do we confront the extremism and the radicalization that we're seeing across the electorate, which unfortunately we saw a piece of that, you know, just on Saturday in a big way.
And Trigvi, was that, I know that's
part of why, or the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back of why you left the Republican Party, was the criticism by Trump and MAGA of your former boss, the late great John McCain, and some of his work that he did.
Yeah, I mean, that was a piece of it. I mean, another piece of it is having spent a lot of my life living over in Central and Eastern Europe, quite frankly, you know, and having done a lot of work in Ukraine and Russia, you know, I'm a Reagan-esque conservative. I believe, you know, there is an evil empire, and I've seen it firsthand. And my wife's native land was occupied by the Russians for a long period of time. So those two things really led me to say, you know what, I'm not a Republican anymore. I'm still a conservative. And quite frankly, Terry, one of the things that we're seeing with the J.D. Vance pick, not only is he advancing Putin's agenda in Ukraine, but we're seeing them want to have government in the middle of people's lives in ways that, quite frankly, is also antithetical to conservatism.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fascinating thing. That's the fascinating thing to me. I don't know. I mean, where do center-right Republicans go now? Is there still room in the Republican Party for them? Does there a new center-right party have to be formed? What do you think?
Well, I think as Todd and I were traveling the state of Wisconsin, one of the things that jumped out at me, and this is true not only of people who are right of center, but I also think there are quite a few people who are left of center and just people who are in the center. There is a growing anger at both sides of the political class about all the division. And, you know, there's a real hunger in this state and in other states as I've been traveling around for more conversation about the good. Most people, when they go to a Green Bay Packer game, aren't wearing a MAGA hat or a BLM hat. They're wearing green and gold. And, you know, there is a strong desire amongst a majority, I think, of the electorate to get back to that working together in a state like Wisconsin. But it's really hard to do when it's in politicians' best interest to get up there and do what Eric Hovde did and scream and yell and basically go jump in a lake.
Ruth Cotta, you follow so many great things at the Wisconsin Examiner. Give us a story or two that kind of surprised you or may have been unexpected in some of your research or reporting so far in this election cycle.
Well, I'll tell you, this is maybe cheating because it's not exactly the Examiner, but I wrote a book about the relationship between undocumented immigrants from Mexico and Wisconsin and Minnesota dairy farmers.
Wow.
And what I found was a shared sense of an agrarian past and a deep respect for a shared culture of hard work. And, you know, a lot of the farmers that I talked to for that book are Republican voters. They voted for Trump twice.
Right.
But, you know, their politics are farther away from D.C. I mean, they don't live and breathe electoral politics. And the fact that there's a group of farmers that go down to Mexico every year to see the homes and villages that the people who work for them have built with the money they made milking cows up here and sort of feel this real interest in these folks and have gotten to try to learn Spanish and get to know their families. And, you know, there is real hope in that. And so I think when you come down from the 30,000-foot view of politics and you get down to the, you know, where people are, I agree with Trigvi that, like, people really would like to have a more constructive approach to life. They, you know, everybody wants to be happy and to, you know, be able to survive and do well and see their children do well. And so I think connecting with that and seeing people kind of on that ground level is really important to stay positive and constructive and not to despair.
I'm going to have to give Terry Bell a booking agent fee because, Terry, we got to have Ruth on our show to have a longer segment to talk about this, the book.
What's the name of the book?
It's called Milked, the American Crisis That Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers.
I think it's fantastic. I grew up at Richland Center. Our two-year, fortunately, college there is now closed. I met some of my closest friends, the mother of my godsons now, as a matter of fact, originally from El Salvador, was here on an exchange program at UW Center Richland. These small communities, our colleges, bring together, and barriers get broken down when you know someone.
Yeah, and something we did cover at the Examiner is the Whitewater situation,
yes,
which was exploded into this national news story about people being upset, being invaded by Latin American immigrants. Well, it turned out when you talk to the police chief, when you talk to the local officials, people were really welcoming of the immigrants who came to their community. They had gotten screwed out of money from the state legislature, yes, and shared revenue, and that's,
wow,
what they were talking about. And the other piece was they said, you know, undocumented immigrants need driver's licenses. That's the crime they were concerned about.
Terry Bell?
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to Ruth Conniff and Trigvi Olson, to Todd Aubaugh. Behind the scenes, we want to say thank you to Corey Hartman, Chris Casper, and Aaron Zamas. I'm Terry Bell for Todd Aubaugh. You've been listening to Civic Media special coverage of the Republican National Convention in downtown Milwaukee. We'll do it again at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Good night.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are live from day three of the RNC. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yockey, will join us. And public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Aubaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Aubaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.